All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and go back to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. This morning we looked at the first part of this chapter, and specifically into verse 6. But tonight I want us to look at the last part of the chapter, and I want to share a few thoughts with you on the matter of taking the gospel and spreading the gospel around the world. All right, so we have his death, we have his burial, we have his resurrection. And now if you'll look please at verse 12, the Bible says, after that he appeared in another form unto two of them, his disciples, as they walked and went into the country. So who is that a reference to? The Emmaus Road disciples, exactly, that Luke tells us about. All right, so look at verse 13. And they went and told it unto the residue, to the rest of the apostles, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now here's the text verse that I want to use tonight, verse 15, and it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now we call that the Great Commission, all right? And that Great Commission is found in each of the four gospels. And it's also found in the first chapter of the book of Acts. And so it is a given that the Lord Jesus wants us to take this gospel message and share it with a lost and dying world. People need everywhere need to hear that there is life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to speak to you tonight a message I'm going to entitle Spreading the Gospel. And let's pray, and then we'll see what the Lord has for us. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for the blessed privilege to be able to open your eternal, inspired word and to once again look at its truths. And Father, I pray that you'll bless tonight, give us understanding of what we're about to hear. I pray that the Spirit of God will use the message to challenge our hearts. And Father, there is such a great need today for believers to take up the gospel message and to go and preach and teach and share and win souls and do all we can to keep folks out of hell. So Father, I pray that you'll bless the message tonight and just stir our hearts with your truth. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. It is amazing to me that after 2,000 years, the message of the gospel, the message of the Lord Jesus, is still relevant. It is still abounding, and it is still reaching into the uttermost parts of the earth. 2,000 years have passed since the Lord Jesus gave this commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Nothing has lasted as long or has stood the test of time like the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I get probably two, maybe more, sometimes it's four and five and six emails a week from missionary families that are starting out trying to raise money to get to the mission field somewhere. And they want to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus to lost souls in whichever country the Lord has called them to. And it just grieves my heart that I can't accept each and every one and support them. But we certainly do around here believe in soul winning, and we certainly do believe about the matter of reaching others with the truth. Of course we believe that. And we support missionaries. We support a lot of missionaries. If you are a missionary from our church, we support you at $500 a month. You should say amen right there, all right? Because that's a big deal, all right? That's a big deal. Now, if you are not out of our church, then we take you on for support, and we take you on for $100 a month. And then we always give, at Christmas time, we always give a 13th check. All right, you would be amazed at the letters and the emails that I get in December thanking me for making Christmas possible for our missionary families. One of the fellows called me this year, and he was in tears. And I said, whoa, slow down, man, what's wrong? I thought he was, you know, telling me he was done and he was coming home. But he said, preacher, I just want to thank you for sending that extra check to us this time. And I said, well, brother, I'm so glad that we could do that for you. And I said, what need did the Lord meet by sending that check to you? And he told me about it. And he was just weeping on the other end of the phone. So you see, folks, we believe in missions. We believe in getting the gospel out. That wonderful gospel, though, is still being spread in our world today. This 15th verse, we refer to it as the Great Commission. And that's exactly what it is. It was given by the Lord Jesus, and each one of the gospel writers take a little different slant with it, but nonetheless, the message is the same. For example, Matthew said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. There's that word always again. Always, all the way, even unto the end of the world. Amen. In Luke 24, in verse 47, Jesus repeats the commission to, and Luke pens it for us, and he said, and that repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in his name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So the gospel started there in Jerusalem, and it went out, as we're going to see Luke tell us again from the book of Acts in just a moment. But then there's the gospel of John. And in John chapter 20, verse 21 and through verse 23, Jesus said this, and when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And then whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And then in Acts chapter 1, And verse 8, Luke again tells us, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now you see, folks, that little word both there in Acts 1:8, that little word both is a word that translates sometimes and is even said in the Bible, translated simultaneously. All right? So in other words, go to Jerusalem, and at the same time you go to Jerusalem, you go to Judea, and the same time you go to Judea, you go to Samaria, and in the same time you go to Samaria, you take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's how urgent the Lord Jesus felt this gospel message was. So the Lord Jesus saves us, and then we become a disciple. We become a disciple of His. Now that little word disciple, that simply means a learner. You remember when you first got saved, how excited you were? You remember how you just could not get enough? That's how I felt. Man, when I got saved, I told you that the preacher said to me on Sunday morning when I got saved, he shook his Bible at me and he said, "Now, Norse, you read this Bible." And I said, okay. And so I couldn't get enough. I sat all afternoon in my room after we ate when I got home. I spent all afternoon reading. I thought you read the Bible like you read a novel. So I started in Genesis. And I started reading Genesis. Well, I got to church that night and the preacher said, he smiled and he said, "Are you still saved?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And so he said, "Well, I knew you were. I was just making sure you knew you were." And I said, "Yes, I'm still saved. I know it." And he said, "Now you get in the Bible." I said, "Well, I've already started." He said, "Oh, yeah?" He said, "How you doing?" And I said, "Well, I was doing pretty good till I got over there a little bit where all these names started appearing in the book of Genesis." And he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat them, and their names are this long." And he said, "No, you don't want to read that." He said, "No, I don't mean you never want to read that, but right now, you don't need to be reading that." And he said, "You go home and read the Gospel of John." So I went home that night, and I started reading the Gospel of John. And I got over into that third chapter, and I saw he that believeth is born again, and he that believeth not is on his way to hell. And I realized, whoa, wait a minute, I'm a believer. So I have everlasting life. And I got excited about it. And I just kept reading. And so I had to get up the next morning to go to school. But I was so excited reading the Bible. And so I just kept reading and reading and reading. And now all these years later, you know what? I'm still a learner. I'm still reading so I can learn what's in the Bible. So this gospel is how the message of Christ has stayed alive. You see, the disciples went out, and then the folks that they led to Christ, they went out, and then when they died off, they had won others, and they kept winning others, and it's just kept going right through the centuries, right through the millennia, down to us today. You see, that same gospel that they preached is the gospel that has been given to us to preach. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye. And as I've told you before, ye means y'all. All right? It means, actually it's plural. It means all y'all. Okay? Yes, indeed. You understand that, don't you, Hillbilly? Huh? You understand that, of course. So the Lord tells us that we are learners, and he gives us this message, and that message is what keeps the gospel alive. I take it, and I share it with you. You share it with somebody else. We teach you on Wednesday nights how to take your New Testament and show another person how they can go to heaven. And that's how we keep it all alive, as we reproduce ourselves over and over and over. And that reproduction is what makes a tremendous impact across this planet. I went to Russia in 1990. I went to the Soviet Union. It was not Russia. It was the Soviet Union then. And the curtain had just fallen. And there was a preacher friend of mine from South Carolina. And he called and said, "Hey, do you want to go to Russia to preach?" And I said, "Well, yeah, when are we leaving?" He said, "Monday." It was Wednesday. He said, "Yeah, we're leaving Monday." And so I said, "Well, yeah, I want to go." And so I went. And the day we got to Moscow, St. Petersburg, we flew from Moscow to St. Petersburg. And then I got off the airplane and had chemotherapy for about 4 hours. They all smoke on airplanes over there. Oh, my goodness, I thought I was going to die. But anyway, we landed, and we went to the hotel, and they had this big spread made for us. And so I'm sitting there eating, and this young guy comes in, and he looked like he was about 24, 25 years of age. And he comes right up to me at the table, and he had a copy of The Sword of the Lord. And on the bottom, on the right side, was the first sermon that I ever had in The Sword of the Lord. And Dr. Hudson put it there. He heard me preach it. He and I preached together in a sword conference, and he heard me preach that message, and he said, "I want to put that in the sword." And I thought he was joking, so I didn't say anything. And then a couple of weeks later, there it is in the sword. And this boy has that sword of the Lord. And he walks over and he kneels down. I was all the way at the end. And he knelt down beside of me and he pulled that paper out, make sure, you know, looking around, nobody was looking. And he showed it to me and he said, "Is that you?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Will you preach in my church tonight?" And I said, "Well, yeah, where is it?" And he said, "Well, it wouldn't do me any good to tell you. It's close." But he said, we're an underground church." And I said, "Underground. All right, I'm trying to get that vision in my mind." He said, "No, we don't let anybody know. We meet in different places all the time. And we don't let anybody know where we are because the government will shut us down for preaching the truth." And he said, "Will you come preach?" I said, "Yes, I will." So he picked me up and I went over and preached. Man, I'm telling you folks, when I walked in the building, it was electric. It was absolutely electric. That place was just so excited. They were singing their lungs out. I thought, man, if anybody hears this, they're going to come and close you down for sure. Because they were just singing their hearts out. And when I walked in, he brought me in. And when I walked in, I was surprised. There were 1,000 people in that room. 1,000 people. That's from 1:30 in the afternoon until 7. They got 1,000 people together. And they introduced me, and I had to preach through an interpreter, of course. And when I preached the message, and I preached on soul winning and how it's so urgent that we get the gospel message out to as many as we can, and I was standing over to the side as the invitation was going on. I gave it over to the pastor, and so I was standing over here next to the guy that was translating for me, and there was all this commotion over on that side. And so everybody was looking that direction, so I'm looking too, but I can't figure out what's going on. So I looked over at the guy that was with me, and I said, "What's all that? What's going on over there?" He said, "Well, I don't know. Let me look." And so he comes over here and looks, and he walks down so he could hear the discussion that was going on. And then he runs back up the steps and comes over to me, and he said, "That young man over there just surrendered to full-time Christian service to go to the oil fields, and serve as a pastor." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Wow, that gospel still works. Even in Russia, that gospel still works." And when the invitation was over and they counted up everything, we had like 35 people saved that night. And there were 2 or 3 others who came and said that God had called them into full-time Christian service. Can you imagine surrendering your life to go to the Siberian oil fields? It gets cold up there, real cold. But that's what that young man did. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the Great Commission. And folks, it still works today. So let's consider for just a moment now this message that we have been given, and notice a few things about this Great Commission. First of all, let's consider this message viewed in the light of its conception. You say, "Well, Pastor, what do you mean by that?" Well, the Lord Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Now, folks, just think for a moment, all right? Put your thinking caps on for just a moment about when these words were uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see here, you've only got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses left. And then Mark closes his book. So it's at the end of Matthew. It's at the end of Mark. It's at the end of Luke. It's at the end of John. But it's at the beginning of the church. All right? And I want you to notice when the Lord Jesus spoke these words. Well, he spoke these words when the suffering and the agony of Calvary's cross was over. He has won the victory. You see, he was crucified, buried, then risen again on the 3rd day, just as he said. So when was it spoken? Well, it was spoken when all the suffering of the cross was over with. And this has caused critics to attack this commission. They say, "Oh, it was when Jesus was ready to leave them that he told them to go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel." But notice, they say, it was when he was getting ready to leave. And they argue that he came unto his own, but his own rejected him. And they say that he said that he was their king, but yet they rejected their king. And instead, they sent the Lord Jesus to the cross to die a terrible and insufferable and agonizing death by being crucified. Now, so they say his coming into this world was nothing but a failure. So his haters and scoffing enemies say that this commission to go into all the world, you ready, was an afterthought. That's how they excuse it away. Oh, it's just an afterthought. Doesn't apply to us. Doesn't apply to me. Well, yeah, it does. You see, they argue that taking the gospel into the world and preaching it to all men everywhere was not a part of our Lord's original program, but that it only came into being because he was so rudely and brutally rejected of his own people. Now, brethren, listen, there are certain of our Lord's thoughts of which you can trace the development of those thoughts. You can see them forming with the passing of days into the fullness of our Christian heritage. But the thought of the worldwide spread of the gospel can never be included in that number. It was always on his mind. And I can prove that to you. I'm telling you, folks, from the first hour of his public ministry, it was on his mind. What was the first miracle that Jesus ever did? Turning the water into wine. Why did he do that? Showing his disciples their commission, what they were to do for him. Bring out the water pots. Now fill them with water. So they brought them out empty, filled them up to the brim. The water is always a picture of the Word of God in the Bible. They were just six, the number of man. Those water pots represented you and me. And they were just earthen water pots. Where'd we come from? The earth. And he said, fill them all the way up to the brim. Then he said, draw out now. And the servants took cups and they dipped out the water, poured it into the cups. And then the Lord Jesus said, now serve. So the servants turned and they walked over to all the guests at the wedding. And somewhere in the transmission from water being put in those water pots, the water of the Word was turned into the wine of salvation, the joy of salvation. Do you see that? And he's showing the disciples, hey, boys, listen, this is why I'm calling you. This is what I want you to do. I want you to share the gospel. You know, I have never seen two soul winners go out on Thursday night and win people to the Lord and come back fighting with one another. You know, I've never seen that. Have you? No. What I have seen, I remember the last night that Tom Queter and I were in Moscow, and this family wanted us to come and eat at their house. And so we did. We had to get up at 3 a.m. to go catch a plane. Well, we weren't going to catch it. It was parked. We were going to go get on a plane, all right, and fly home. And so, you know, we're sitting there going, you know, I sure could use some rest. And I remember Tom looking at me and saying, yeah, I guess we can rest when we get to heaven. I said, all right, Mr. Spiritual here. Guilt me to death. So we went to these people's house and didn't get out of there until well after midnight. Well after midnight. But we were excited. Why? Folks had gotten saved that night. We had, both of us, been able to sit down with lost people and lead them to Christ. Man, I'm telling you, that'll put a spark in your bones, that's for sure. So from his first hour of public ministry, spreading the gospel was on the mind of our Savior. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness? And that last temptation, I think, was the most difficult one for him. And here's why I say that. Do you remember what it was? The Bible tells us that the devil took him up into a high mountain and showed him all the nations of the world, all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, if you will just bow down and worship me, I will give you all of these kingdoms right now. Right now. You say, well, why was that the most difficult one? Well, if you know your Bible, and you do, I know you do. If you know your Bible, you know that during the millennium, you got the rapture, the ruin, the tribulation period, the return, the second coming, and then the reign. And you know that during that reign period, the 1,000-year millennial reign, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, rules the nations from Jerusalem. Nod your head. You with me on that? Sure. You know that, don't you? So what was the devil saying to the Lord Jesus? Here's what he was saying. Lord, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. And you can bypass the cross. You see that? That's what he was trying to get him to do. You can bypass the cross. I'm telling you, folks, that temptation was so slick, so devious. Satan knew exactly what he was doing. And when you get to the back of the book, you see the Lord Jesus sitting on the throne of the entire earth. All the nations. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the devil was simply saying, hey, let's bypass the cross. Let's skip the suffering and the agony and the bloodshed. You don't need to give your life on the cross. Just bow down now and worship me, and I will give you all these nations right now. Aren't you glad the Lord didn't take him up on that offer? So these critics will say, oh, well, he spoke this after the cross. He spoke this after the resurrection because, it was an afterthought. No, it wasn't an afterthought. Not even close. Not even close. Folks, it was not an afterthought. This message that he gave us that involved the cross and the burial and the resurrection, this message is what has built the kingdom of heaven. It's what has built it. So in John's gospel, John summed it up this way. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so these critics stand back and say, oh, see, his first advent was a failure. No, no, no. Read the next verse. Read verse 12, because verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see, that's what happens when one disciple goes, one learner goes and tells the gospel message to some soul who needs to be saved. Thank God for that message. So I said, first of all, that let's consider this message viewed in the light of its conception. Oh, it was on his mind from the beginning, folks. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. Squire Parsons, I think, is the one that wrote this song, but he wrote a song that when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the Lord Jesus hanging between heaven and earth, feeling his life's blood drain from his body? All that agony and pain, and yet he's sitting there thinking about you. He's got you on his mind, Russell. Isn't that something? David, he's got you on his mind. Lucy, you are on his mind. Man, if that doesn't grip your heart, I don't know what will. Well, I really don't have time for this next, for the second point. That was point one. I really don't have time to get point two to you. But I'm telling you, folks, this message is amazing. Let me sum it up. Let's look at this worldwide gospel message in the light of its accomplishment. You know, it still works. Yeah, it still works. It is one thing to cherish great ideas, but quite another to see those ideas fulfilled. You know, to actually dream and then see fruit, see results. There are many folks who dream, but there is a great gulf between dreaming about something and actually carrying it out. But the gospel message has changed, transformed multitudes of lives, and is still doing it today. Worldwide. I'm not talking about just here in America. I don't know if you folks realize this or not, but revival is going on just about everywhere, except for in America. You know? Yeah, we got the world by one hand and the church in the other hand, and wondering why we can't do both. But you can't. You can't do both. The gospel message makes a difference. Nothing has ever blanketed the globe like the message of grace, forgiveness, hope, and love that was given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. In my ministry, I've seen firsthand what the gospel can do so many times. We were speaking about the trip to Russia. The night we checked in, all these maids and cooks and waiters were all coming to our doors. They went to the front desk and found out where our rooms were, what floor we were on, and they would come, and that's all you'd hear. Just, I thought, what in the world's that? I look at Tom, and Tom says, somebody knocking at the door? I said, I don't know. I'll go look. I walked over and looked through the little peephole, you know, and there was a man standing out there, and he's looking down the hall like this and looking down the hall like that, and then he reaches over. And I could hear it then. It got a little louder. And so I opened the door, and he looks at me and he says, "Biblos?" And I said, "You want a Bible?" Nods his head. "Biblos? Biblos? To me? Biblos?" I said, "Wait 1 second." So I shut the door, went back, unzipped my suitcase. All of us had about 15 that we stuck in our suitcases after we got to the airport. And I came back and gave the man a Bible. And he embraced it and held it to his chest. And then said thank you 1,000 times. And I said, "You're welcome, good night." You know, and I shut the door. Well, just about the time I got in bed, here they come. And it went on like that all through the night. I said, "Tom, you sleep a while, and I'll pass out Bibles, and then when I pass out, you get up and you can pass them out." This one woman, an elderly woman, she knocked on the door. I opened the door, and she said, "Biblos, please, please, please." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, hold on." I turned around, I stacked them on a little shelf there, turned around, got one of them, and I handed it to her, and she opened it up, to make sure it was really a Bible. And she opened it up, and a big old smile came over her face. And she started thanking me, and I said, "You're welcome." And she thanked me again. I said, "You're welcome." The tears are rolling down her face, rolling. And then she falls to her knees, and she grabbed me around my shins and held on. Spasiba, 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 which means thank you. And I kept saying, "You're welcome, you're welcome. My wife can see you." Spasiba, spasiba. And that's all we did was pass out Bibles the whole time we were there. We took 10,000 and we came home with zero. Zero. In China, people were starving for the truth. Starving. One fella came with his wife and to the college where we were, and he said through the interpreter, through the pastor, he said, "Can we come to the service to your class?" And I said, "Sure, sure you can." And so it was a college level, senior level class, and so I was teaching the book of the Revelation to him. And after all that was said and done, that man walks up and says, through the interpreter, of course, he said, so "Jesus left and he's coming back." I said, "Yes." "When he comes back, what's he going to do?" And I said, "Well, he's going to take all the saints, all the believers up to heaven." "Can I go?" I said, "Are you a believer?" He said, "I want to be." And so we sat down, got to lead him and his wife and their oldest son to the Lord. I'm telling you, folks, people need the Lord. And all we got to do is just open our mouths and share the truth, and people will respond to the truth. People are looking for an answer. And we are the ones that have the answer. So let's think about this matter of this worldwide gospel, because that's what it is. It is a gospel that is good for us here in America, but it's also good for the Indians in Bolivia. It's also good for the fishermen in China. It's also good for the oil workers in Russia. Folks, the gospel message is for everyone. And we are commissioned to share it. Thank God for the worldwide gospel of Christ. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Would you let God speak to your heart tonight? Let me ask you, Christian, when's the last time that you were broken for someone's soul? When's the last time that you were broken? When's the last time you got to share the gospel and lead someone to the Lord? Well, there's a world out there that needs to be saved. Can I challenge you tonight? Let's do what we can. Let's go this week and try our best to spread that gospel and tell others that Jesus saves. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if God is speaking to your heart tonight and you'll say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be a soul winner for Christ. I want to spread the gospel. I want to share the gospel. Pray for me, Pastor. Would you slip your hand up all over this building? Just hold your hands up. Oh my, what a wonderful sight that is. God bless all of you. God bless you so much. Yes, thank you. You may put your hands down. Thank you. Now, Father, you know our hearts tonight. You know every person in this room and what is the thing that makes them tick. And, Father, I pray that you will now draw each one of us into a closer walk of fellowship with you and give us a burden for the souls of men. Father, help us now, I pray, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And help us to take this gospel message and tell others how they can know that they're going to heaven. So bless now the invitation. Touch our hearts with your truth. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.